Hello, America. There is a lot to go over today. The Senate is voting on a Obamacare bill that nobody's read. Nobody even knows. Yesterday, the president came out and said, you better pass it. Nobody has any idea. The GOP, we begin with you right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Has anything changed since the time of the Game of Thrones? Really, has anything changed for the Iron Chair? Do the people in Washington even care about you? Because what are we teaching our children? Are we teaching our children that you have to lie? You have to lie, you have to cheat, you have to steal to get elected. Then you raise more money on those lies. You don't do anything that you promised. Those were the lies. All you do is you blame, you divide, and you destroy. Then raise more money. Appease your real masters, the power players. You lie to get reelected. You fleece the American people, and you're set for life. There are not strong enough words to voice an appropriate response. The response that I feel on the GOP's Obamacare plans. Let me just give you the last paragraph from an article from Red State. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is attempting to get a vote on something, anything, this week. This means the senators don't know what piece of legislation, if any, they'll be voting on, end quote. Shameful. What kind of half-ass circus freaks has the GOP become? For the president to be sent out without a bill and to tell Congress to vote on anything is perhaps the most shameful and grotesque perversion I have seen of our system. And I thought the Democrats were awful. Don't worry, Democrats. I get back to your rat weasels here in a second. My first question is how long and which group of monkeys masquerading as public servants will be the first to begin to throw feces at the other side? My guess is at this point, McConnell's thuggish apes. You know what would fix this? Let's find a Kardashian that's also a part-time circus clown. They can run for office. Then it'll really be fun to watch. Yeah, you know what we need? We need some more self-centered, backstabbing idiots in D.C. That's what we lack. If there is anyone who actually knows or cares about how many families are actually struggling to make ends meet, anyone who actually knows should be outraged. The politicians know. First of all, because they created this mess. And because they were elected on the promise to relieve the financial burden on those who have always played by the rules and trusted the American system of government and justice. But I have news for you, America. That system no longer exists. We can kiss that parade goodbye. Our enemies are laughing at us. Those who look to us to free them from slavery or oppression or their brutal regime are whimpering in their cell today in despair. When America falls, and she surely will if we don't wake up, who is left to hold the torch for freedom, for decency, for empathy, for justice, for honor? It sure isn't the villains who lie to us and continue to lie to us in both parties. Oh, and the media. Let's not forget them. both sides of the media, by the way. May I ask the GOP, what the hell you been doing for the last 7 years? You begged us for help. You told us we needed to elect you. We needed to not only vote for you, we needed to give up our precious time and campaign for you. We needed to argue with our friends and our family and see if we could help show the light to them, because you and only you could solve this problem. You asked us to give up our hard-earned, honestly earned, and increasingly hard to find money so you could go back and repeal Obamacare, cut spending, cut taxes, and the long laundry list of whatever we were dumb enough to believe that was coming out of your mouth. You told us that you understood, that you were the answer, that the only thing that was holding you back is you needed two branches of the three of government. You had to have the House and the Senate. You had to have the legislative branch, but you also had to have the executive branch. And as soon as you had that, you would send relief. But did you? Have you? No. No. And yet with the House and the Senate and the White House and the press totally distracted, you don't even have a plan. I know there are a few honest people in both parties. There are few. There really are. But let me address them. Let me ask them a question. When are you going to have enough? When will you actually stand up on the floor of the Senate or the House and say, I am no longer part of this foolish clown show of a party? When will you begin to stand up and declare that someone needs to represent us, the millions that know this is a game to all of you? When will any of you take on your own side? Forget about the party. Democrats, Republicans, independents, every political stripe, and those who don't know anything about politics are suffering. When is enough enough for you? Is the power too much? Is it the health care benefits that we can't even get? How about the free gym? How about the lifetime benefit of $56,000 a year for doing nothing after you retire? Is it the inside trading that makes you rich that you just can't pass up? Are you enjoying them? Oh, what it must be like to be you. I'd ask you that question, but I think I'm going to save it until after your time on Earth, because I'm guessing your answer today will be quite different than when I ask it to you in the heat of all eternity. Do none of you have any common decency? Yes, you do? Then step out in front. Leave, or leave your party, and do it for a reason. Be the first to say it, because we already know, and so do all of your colleagues. They're just afraid to say it out loud. Neither party has any intention of fixing any of this. Neither side cares about anything except their own power. Nothing has changed since 1862, when neither the Whigs nor the Democrats took slavery seriously. But there were 20 people brave enough to stand up from both sides and say, my party stands for nothing. Neither of you people actually care about slavery. They stepped up and said they had had enough. 20 of them. And they started their own party. And you know what they did? It's amazing. Without any social media, yes, believe it or not, without Twitter or Facebook, without the power of the press, without a celebrity or a game show contestant or a rock star among them, they elected Abraham Lincoln 8 years later. You know, I pray for peace and reconciliation, but there are times for righteous indignation. I heard the president's remarks yesterday, and then me being stupid enough to say, okay, what's the GOP proposing? And then going online and seeing nothing. Nothing, and yet literally anything is what they're proposing. They just want to win. I was sick to my stomach. Is no one else in America done with this? Is no one else willing to stand up and condemn their own side? Their own senator, their own congressman, their own media? Is no one willing to do it? Is anyone else thinking that with all that we not just accept and tolerate, but all of the things that we actually are beginning now to embrace from these people, that maybe perhaps, just perhaps, we're getting the government we finally deserve? May God have mercy on us all. Is there anyone? Is there anyone out there that actually wants to solve health care for the people who cannot afford it and reduce the restrictions and be able to give the people back the health care and possibly even better than what they had before, to give them more money that they have worked so hard to earn? Politicians, do you not have children and grandchildren? Are you so myopic that you can't see the future your children and grandchildren will inherit? Or do you have some special golden parachute out of chaos? May God have mercy on your souls. You not only have lied to us, but you very well may be directly responsible for the loss of the Western way of life. May you be haunted by the thoughts and the names and the images and the horrors that you will have inflicted on people all over the world. May you be haunted by the images and the names and the people who are working themselves to death so they can afford a doctor for their kids. Not even the doctor they want or loved or were promised they could keep. By the way, Democrats, this is where you come in. You're not free from the wrath. You built this ship. Obamacare, why do we have to repeal and replace? Because it's going to collapse. It's a debacle. You built this ship. You make the Titanic builders and architects look like geniuses. You were the ones. You can keep your doctor. You were the ones. You can keep your insurance plan. You were the ones. It'll save you $2,500 of my own money. You talk of social justice. Democrats, you should all be glad that currently actual justice isn't seen around here anymore, because all of your leaders would be behind bars. The only thing that gives me solace is if real justice were around, so would all of our so-called leaders. Republicans and Democrats who are active in this system right now, who are playing this game, you are the very people our founders warned us of. For those politicians, don't call and try to come on my show. Don't expect any kind of shelter from me. The same goes for all media on both sides. You are either part of the solution or part of the problem. Which will you be? You in the audience. You have to make the same choice I have to make. Which will you be? People are real. Joblessness is real. Pain, illness, suffering, death is real. Poverty is real. Despair, loneliness, hopelessness, that's real. Clicks and ratings and fame and elections, none of that is real. Which master do you serve, coward? May all those who fail in these times to rise for truth find those things, especially those in Washington and the heads of media, that only the deepest and most relentless poverty and regret and public humiliation can provide for the rest of your hopefully long and seemingly never-ending lives. We have a decision to make. You're part of the problem or part of the solution. It begins by just admitting the problem that you have, that our side has, because we can only change what we do, not what the other weasel rats do. Now this, ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes because they find the most qualified job candidates. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with a single click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to the job better than anybody else, and that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. You just screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Right now, you can post your jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. For free, just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
Man, I am getting so many emails from the good guys in Washington, D.C. And they just don't know what to do. They just don't know what to do. All of them say, let me see if I can find one of these. All of them say something along the lines of, here, please pray for me. I just don't know what to do. This is a lose-lose situation for the American people. I'm sickened by this. I just don't know what to do. The guys who are in the Senate, who are on our side, they're like, look, we vote for it, we lose. We don't vote for it, we lose. And they're not talking about them. These guys are actually talking about you. They're like, this is not going to help. This is going
because
to...
Because this is not the bill they promised the American
people.
No, this is
going to... This could actually really hurt the average person. And they're like, I can't put my name on that because it hurts the people.
They're stuck between a rock and a hard place because the bill is bad, but this might be their only chance at repeal.
Right. And they're like, McConnell and these rats will never bring it up again. And so, I mean, do we do anything? Because we're going to be blamed because it's going to make things worse.
Than this? I don't know that it makes things worse than Obamacare.
Because
I think it does.
The theory is that if they remove the mandate but keep everything else, so only sick people will be on insurance plans because the healthy are just going to, without the mandate, they're not going to have it until they need it, then they'll get it.
Yeah.
So only sick people will be on it, so that raises the cost for everybody.
Right. So it'll collapse it faster because, you know, you don't have to do that. And then it does nothing to open the free market to take that pressure and balance it someplace else. It just dumps it onto the free market, which can't handle that.
2 points on this. First of all, this was Hillary Clinton's argument. I mean, Hillary Clinton was the one saying you have to have this mandate or this thing collapses. And I don't agree with that argument, first of all. Second of all, it's unconstitutional. And whether you think it's better for the program or not, it must be removed.
Yeah.
That individual mandate is the worst part of that entire program. It must be removed.
So you vote for this?
I didn't say that, but I don't even know what it is. How can I vote for it? I don't even know what it is yet. It's not even out.
Stu, I
gotta see it first.
Pray for those few souls in the Senate. They are agonizing today. This is killing them. Please pray for them.
listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
So Sessions may be out today. Unprecedented. Rex Tillerson is now making waves that if Sessions goes, he may go. He thinks it's unprofessional what's going on here. The Senate is voting on a bill. They don't really know what's in the bill. This is chaos.
Well, you have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. I mean, we found that out
Maybe we don't pay our senators enough. Maybe $174,000 a year is just not enough money for them to actually care. You know, the Speaker of the House is struggling on $223,000.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I don't know how they do that.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how they do that.
Oh, my gosh.
They also get
We take up FundMe page of some sort?
A GoFundMe page, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, they're allowed to deduct living expenses, so let's, you know, help do on their health care. They get $3,000 in living expenses that they can deduct. Also, they get a tax break of $10,000 on their health care, which is very nice. Good.
Is that enough?
Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, the health plan that they're on did start in 1959, It was, to cover everybody, know, the civil workers, you know, the post office, the important people, members of Congress. It wasn't a single plan. It was a supermarket of 300 private health plans, which was really nice. It was really nice. But then they got to have their own shop exchange, and they can do that with, the $10,000 that the, that everybody gets of course.
And then Jason Chaffetz has the nerve to say that they need, was it $2,500 extra for a second residence in Washington, D.C. for all of them?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
well,
let's
also,
do that.
I mean, the let's senators also have a personal and office expense account of $3 to $5 million each, which is...
That's per year, though, right? That's not a month.
I don't know how you do
that's
that.
Not that's not every month.
No, that's a year.
Well, that Staples and Office Max, the prices have gone up several percent in recent years.
And the physical office space is a nightmare. It's in the... Okay, yes, it is in the most important building in the country, but you only have between 5 and 8,200 square feet.
But 5 square feet is really small.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. Now 8,200 is okay, but 5?
Yeah. I know. And if you have 8,000, try this. If you have 8,000 square feet, they expect you to furnish that with only $40,000 of taxpayer money.
What?
Per square foot, right?
No.
$40,000 for the whole room?
Well, for all of it, over $5,000, I think you can get... what is it? A couple thousand dollars more for every 200 square feet, I think.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know how they do it. But they
can you
somehow
imagine
or another,
decorating a room with only $40,000?
Yeah. Imagine that.
You can't do that.
Right. Oh, and they also receive $250,000 budget for travel and office expenses.
Oh, yeah.
So they can, they can do that. And their employees are all making $172,000 to $168,000. Plus, they get the taxpayer-funded members-only gym, so they don't have to worry about the riffraff. And then they also have the members-only salon where they can get their, hair done or their, and a barber shop, too.
Well, everyone's got a haircut.
And then they also have the members-only tennis court. Oh, and the airline privileges, which are really nice. They can book any flight. They could book every flight that they wanted and then just cancel at last minute, no penalties. And so they generally... book several flights because they're never really sure when they're going to be able to get out of there, and you don't want to have them worry about that. And so then they can just drive to Washington National, where they get to park their car for free, which is $740,000 in foregone revenue for Reagan National. They just park your car there.
Eat that probably, you know.
Oh yeah, the taxpayers can eat that.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
We got that. We got that for you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. So,
well, because of the hard work that they're doing for us, you don't mind doing that, right?
Amen,
we don't mind eating
brother.
All those expenses.
Amen. So,
because they're doing such a great job.
You've worked hard your whole life, and so you've put into Social Security, and you get $15,000 a year. The public workers' pension
you get $26,000 a year on top of your $15,000.
Well, yeah, but they need to.
So if you're a public service servant, you get that. And of course, if you're a member of Congress, you get $59,000 of pension for the rest of your life on top of the $15,000. And of course, you know, all the insider trading that you did and everything else. So
I'm so stuck on the fact that they're honoring the memory of Ronald Reagan by giving away $700,000 of parking spots. That's an interest and free flights.
Yeah, but they're only making $174,000.
Right. Well, that's the part you know what? And if they ever die, if they ever die while they're in office, they get 1 year's full salary of $174,000. However, if one of our soldiers die, they're capped at $100,000. They can't get more than $100,000. But
well, who's doing more important work is how you have to factor
that
in.
Amen, brother.
Right.
Who's like, working harder for the American
people? Who's working
harder?
Who's risking more?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think you could definitely say our senators and congressmen.
Right.
When you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
When you put them side by side, it's pretty obvious.
It's grotesque. It is grotesque what is happening right now. I can't.
I'm glad we're talking about healthcare today because I'm concerned about the coma that the kindler, gentler Glenn Beck is in. Right now, it seems to be that
he was beaten to death last night.
That's terrible.
Yeah, by the old Glenn, he was beaten to death. And
it does get
to
frustrating sometimes. There's just going to be days like this.
Yeah, there are.
Right? There's going to be days like this.
Everybody,
it's too agonizing.
It's too outrageous.
It is.
I literally could not come up with appropriate words.
I know.
I cannot come up with appropriate words. I just can't on how obscene and grotesque all of this is. And we're taking it.
Yeah.
I mean, we
sure are.
We look with disgust on Rome and the way the Roman senators acted and conducted themselves and the outrage and the eating vomitoriums and all that kind of stuff. We're there.
Oh,
we're beyond that.
That's a move towards respectability to go back to Rome at this point.
It is. If they were just puking after every meal so they could eat more, I'd like that better.
That's not bad. Hey.
So what? Go ahead. So you have bulimia, whatever.
You know what's making I've got to
stop raping the American people.
I've got a couple of books for you to read.
Oh,
just,
good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it's just...
Is this 19 and 20 or 20 and 21?
No, you don't have to, okay. But I will tell you that I've started these two books, and they are... they've asked people over the last 10 years to keep economic diaries, regular people to keep economic diaries. And when you actually look...
Who is asked?
I don't know, a group that did some study. I'm sure... Yeah, I mean, who's going to do this and write a book about it? I'm sure it's some lefties. however, you just can't argue with the facts. And I have no idea what these books, that's why I'm not going to say them on the air. I have no idea what these books are going to tout as the solution.
Oh.
But I will tell you that the way they have, moved to document what people's lives really are, when you look at how people's lives really are, I mean, think of your own life. It's happening in millions of houses all over the land. Right. Whatever is happening in your house, thank your lucky stars, it's much worse in somebody else's house. No matter how bad you think your situation, it's worse in somebody else's house. And for you to really know it and to really look at it, not as a stat, it's obscene. When you really realize who went out and busted their ass to vote for you, who went out and has given their most precious commodity, time and hope. They have given you their time and entrusted you with their hope. And for you to do this is, I can't think of a bigger slap in the face to the American people than what's happening right now. It's obscene. And the only reason why they're getting away with it is because we're allowing them to. And why are we allowing them to? Because of our own human nature. Our human nature to preserve the species. It's our fears and our justifiable struggles right now. What we're doing can all be explained as survival of our people. And it's almost impossible to beat. But with all of their behavioral scientists, they know that. They know that. And they have engineered, I'm convinced, not everybody by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a handful of them who absolutely either have in their own way or would like to engineer this into collapse to be able to get what they want, because they know how humans as an animal will react. It's sickening. And yet they're going to vote today. There's a couple of other things that you need to be aware of. I want to take you to a very different place with the illegals that died in the back of that semi in San Antonio today. Because you want to talk about immoral? Here's what's immoral. Allowing sanctuary cities to exist. Allowing our government to send a mixed message to people who, again, are fighting for their survival. They're not coming from places like St. Louis, the bad side of St. Louis. That's not where these people are coming from. And we're, through our sanctuary cities, offering them hope. And when you actually see what these people did to get into the back of that truck, I'm telling you, the truck driver and everyone involved should receive the death penalty. These sanctuary cities should receive the stiffest punishment the federal government can possibly give to a city. It's immoral. Does nobody see the actual people involved? Is anything real to anyone anymore? Or is it, has life really truly become nothing but a Facebook post, a click, and a like? Sponsor this half hour is Delta Defense, the USCCA. The USCCA is the first and the largest organization that is dedicated to protecting responsible gun owners before, during, and after a self-defense incident. It's amazing how much time I have practiced, how much time I have gone to the gun range, how long my wife and I prayed about it, how careful we have been with our gun, how much thought we put into where do we keep our guns in case somebody comes in. How do we do it? Will I ever pull the trigger? All of that. But I haven't thought really of anything after pulling the trigger. And that's when you really need help. And that's when the USCCA comes in. For 3 years, whether you were justified or not, most people are tied up in the court system for 3 years. Why? Because everybody's playing a game. And there's money to be made. And there's political points to score. Who protects you? The USCCA does. They protect you. I want you to go to their website and find out exactly how you can place yourself behind their armor shield. Protectanddefend.com. Right now, you can register to be one of the five winners of $1,776 for guns and ammo, whatever you want. Five lucky winners are going to win it. Might as well be you. You don't have to register. You don't have to do anything but register to win. Check the site for all the details. But really find out how they will protect and defend you at protectanddefend.com. That's protectanddefend.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. So glad that you are you've tuned in today. Whew. you know, when you stop understanding the world and you stop caring about the changes, I think you start to get old. And I've always...
I must be about 385.
I was going to say, I've always fought against that. I've always wanted to, you know, continue to swing and continue to be in there and look for the changes. When it comes to politics only, I don't have any desire to be around, to help, to any of it. I mean, if there was another place that I could go, if there was another America, somebody was sailing off and they're like, we have the American principles and we are enshrining the Constitution. I don't care if it was in Alaska, I'd be there. I'd be there.
Oh, in this heat, it'd be better in Alaska.
I mean, I just, the principles, we are, I read that thing from Eric Erickson yesterday where he said our next stop is we have to decide whether the rule of law matters.
Yeah.
And the Democrats have already decided the rule of law doesn't matter.
They decided that a long time ago.
Yeah, they decided that, you know, clearly with the IRS scandal, with the, well, the Hillary Clinton scandal, you know, the border, Fast and Furious. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to them. And we said at that time, you can't set this example because pretty soon your guy's going to be gone and our guy's going to be in and you don't want this example. I got news for you. At some point, guys, the pendulum swings back. You don't want this precedent set. What will the next person be like that really hates conservatives? What will they be allowed to do?
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
You want to talk about a tragedy? How sad is this? Pat just found out that Bella turns into a vampire.
Man, imagine my stunning surprise.
Right. No, it's not bad that he found that out now. It's bad that he found that out ever.
At all.
Because his wife is forcing him to watch the Twilight series, which he, as a strong man, avoided. Mm-hmm. Avoided.
All these years.
You wore the pants in the family.
Yes,
and
I
now,
did.
No.
Now I've succumbed.
So
sad.
But the good news is he's actually working a system on this.
Oh, there's a method to my madness.
Oh, there will be payback. There's a price to, you know, force your spouse to drag it out, not in one day, over five long evenings. Oh my gosh. I can't wait. What's your new car gonna be like?
it's gonna be a Lamborghini.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are going to give you an update on everything that is happening. I'm so torn on where to start. We have an update on the illegals that were trapped in San Antonio and many of them died. I have an update on the economy that is really critical. I'm going to try to lay it out on a chalkboard tonight at 5 o'clock, but you need to hear it as well. We also need to tell you about the imam in California that is telling his group of Muslims at his mosque that all Muslims need to annihilate all Jews, and not just in Palestine, but everywhere. That's happening in California. Are we paying attention to it? No, of course not. Of course not. We are watching a freaking circus happen in Washington, and we begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So let me just give you the update on what's happening in Washington, and none of this affects your life today. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because we're going to come back to it when, you know, when something actually is real and has happened. But your friends are all going to be talking about it, so we might as well spend a few minutes on it. And that is Jeff Sessions. Is he in or is he out? Here's a guy who gave up his career and said so. He knew that if this didn't work out, he was done. There's a new book out about Steve Bannon that talks about the entire campaign and how it came together. And remember, Sessions was critical.
He was the first senator
to
get on board with Trump.
Yeah, he was critical. The first one. And here's how that went down.
This is from Joshua Green's book. Sessions, the ranking member of the powerful budget committee, had been denied the chairmanship, punishment he believed for his aberrant behavior. Now he wanted reassurance. Trump is a great advocate for our ideas, Sessions said, but can he win? 100%, Bannon said, pacing back and forth in flip-flops in the front room of the embassy. If he can stick to your message and personify this stuff, there's not a doubt in my mind. They already took me off budget, Sessions reminded him. If I do this endorsement and it doesn't work, it's the end of my career in the Republican Party. It's do or die, Bannon replied. This is it. This is the moment. A day earlier, Chris Christie, a pillar of GOP establishment, had stunned the political world by showing up unannounced to endorse Trump at a rally in Texas. Bannon reminded Sessions that a nod from him now, with the SEC primaries looming just 3 days away, could be decisive. The South could rise and deliver the nomination to Trump. Sessions agreed. Okay, I'm all in, he said, but if he doesn't win, it's over for me.
So he gave everything. Here's a guy that Trump supporters really like. Here's a guy that I've really liked for a long time because he has been a guy who has been strong on border issues, and he has been unwavering on it. And when he came out, it was a shock to a lot of people. Now here's a guy who has been loyal to the core for Donald Trump, gave his career to Donald Trump. And in 6 months, 8 months, the president is calling him a beleaguered attorney general, a weak attorney general. And why? He's calling him this because he now needs to deflect the Russia thing back onto the Clintons. Now, I really want to go through this because this is important for you to noodle out in your own head. So he wants to now pursue the Clintons for their crimes. Now, remember, he wanted that from the get-go. He said that when he was campaigning. People were lock her up.
He also wants to get rid of Robert Mueller in the worst way possible. And Sessions recused himself. So there's some thought that he can't fire. See, the president can't fire Mueller himself. He has to have his attorney general do that. So the thought process is that since Sessions recused himself from the Russian investigation, he can't fire Mueller. Or at least if he did, it would look really bad.
Right.
So and now he needs him out.
He can't fire Sessions over recusing himself on Russia, even though that's what he's been saying. He's like, if I wouldn't have hired him had I known he was going to recuse himself. Well, you couldn't have. The timeline is all screwed up. So he couldn't have recused himself before you offered him the job because the scandal hadn't hit yet. So when it hit, that's when he recused himself. He said, had I known that, I wouldn't have put him in as attorney general. Well, you can't fire him for that reason. Because if you fire him for that reason, then you're really basically firing him and hiring somebody who will fire Mueller. Well, you can't do that.
You can.
You can, yeah, but it's really bad. So what is he doing? He's saying, I have to go after Hillary Clinton for their crimes, knowing that his base, who chanted lock her up, loves that idea. But I just want to remind you, when he got into office, here is what he said about locking up Hillary Clinton.
I'm going to think about it. She did some bad things. I mean,
a special prosecutor?
I don't want to hurt them. They're good people. I don't want to hurt them.
Okay. He also said to the New York Times about locking up Hillary Clinton, I want to move forward. I don't want to move back. I don't want to hurt the Clintons. I really don't. She went through a lot and suffered greatly in many different ways. And I'm not looking to hurt them at all. The campaign was vicious.
Okay, so I think that is Donald Trump's real feeling on Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton.
It was he who called off the dogs.
Right. He called off the dogs and said, we're not going to go after them. We're not going to pursue them. He needs that now. But let me give you a reason. And I will tell you, I've spoken to several people, historians, about pardons and presidential pardons. And why don't they go after people for crimes that they know they committed? And at the presidential level, here is the ration, the reason and the rationing. And I don't know if you buy into it, but I kind of do. When you have a president leave office, Gerald Ford knew that doomed him to never being reelected again. So why would Gerald Ford pardon Richard Nixon? What was his reasoning behind that? The reasoning behind that was, in America, the one thing we don't do is go after former sitting presidents, and we don't go after our political opponents. Because that's what banana republics do. Somebody will win. It's very contentious. It's on both sides. It's heated. And then somebody will get into office and use that power to wipe out the other side. If you begin that, it doesn't end well. And so while they knew that Richard Nixon had problems, that crime was not, it was the cover-up of the crime. And the presidents were supposed to learn that lying about things and cover-ups was bad. And they learned it until Bill Clinton, when we accepted it. You have to teach the lesson. The American people must teach the lesson. It can't come from a president, because if this president decides to go after the Clintons now, and he does it, or is perceived as doing it for political reasons, which you know they all will. I think she's guilty of sin. I think the Clintons should have been in jail, you know, in the 90s. I think they should have gone to jail. So I have no problem with an investigation and sending someone to jail. However, if you do this and it is perceived as a political reason, which now it is, had he come in and done it right away, I think at least our side could have said, no, that wasn't political. That was really about the scandal that was going on. Well, that scandal is all over now. That scandal means nothing. Everybody's learned the lesson, you know, that you could get away with it. And we've gone for a year without even talking about it. You'll make the case will be made. This is purely political. What happens when the person comes in that follows Trump? Does that person, if they're on the left, do they now prosecute Trump and his allies? Probably. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? At some point, you get to a place to where you just wipe out the opposition. That's why we don't do it. And I've always wondered and I've always argued against it. And I believe it was Mike Lee who explained this to me. And I said, Mike, you can't believe that that's... And he's like, Glenn, I'm telling you, this is one of the hardest things to get your arms around. He said, but it's right. We can't begin to go down that road. Now, if it's murder, if it's things like that, yes, absolutely. But if it is, unless it is truly high crimes, which, again, I believe selling the computers to China was a high enough crime. I believe, you know, the deal making with the Clinton Foundation, you know, that's there. Yes. I believe that was a big enough high crime. Selling access is a high enough crime. But that's why we don't do it. So now he's not, I guarantee you, if Session leaves, you're going to hear the excuse of let's go after the Clintons. But it will. They will not go after the Clintons. Instead, he needs somebody who will involve himself in this Russia deal and shut it down. Or they will use the Clintons as bait and say, oh, really? You want to look at that? Because we're going to look at this. And then it will all go away. But nobody's going to jail. We should get past that stupid little fantasy now. No one is going to jail. Well, except maybe one day you. And now this. Chaos in Washington. Why is the stock market continuing to boom? There is an article at glennbeck.com today, and I'm going to go over it tonight at 5 o'clock, I hope. And I hope to have time to go over it today with you. But it takes you through several graphs, and there's also a video up there teaching you about how bubbles work. What is a bubble? This is the mother of all bubbles. And, man, I'm telling you, I've said it for so long, but there's no way, if you look at these graphs and you see how big these bubbles are, the asset bubble is twice as big as it was in 2008. They always come down, always. Please protect yourself, or you will fall prey to any government that will hand out to you. And I don't know that we come back from this one if we're not prepared. Please do everything you can to get yourself out of debt. Please take your money. No, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. Do what you want. Do what you feel is best. Pray on it. But I will tell you this. I don't have money in bonds. I am taking all my money out of stocks. I do not believe we are in a good place right now. If you have not put some of your money in gold, please consider it. Call Goldline now, 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. Read their important risk information. Find out if buying gold is right for you. You can get their price protection program for as little as $2,500 in gold. You can get 3 months of price protection, meaning if the price goes down over the next 3 months, they give you more gold. You spend, you know, in between the $2,500 and $25,000, and that time is elongated all the way up to $25,000 investment in gold from your IRA or your 401k. And you put that in there. If the price of gold goes down in a year, they will make it up with gold. So you risk literally nothing. Please have your money in a safe place. Please have some of your money in a physical thing that you actually have your hands on. I want you to call Goldline now, 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE. Call them right now, 866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh my gosh. I want you to go to glennbeck.com and read this article on the mother of all financial bubbles. It was prepared for us by peakprosperity.com. And it shows some amazing charts and some amazing figures and makes the case you better buckle up. The total assets of major central banks. There's a chart here that shows we are 3.5 times higher today than we were at 10 years ago, right before the crash. 3.5 times more. The major assets of the central banks. That is now $18.8 trillion. So $18.8 trillion is sitting in the coffers of the bank, and these are the assets that they look at assets that, remember, last time were not assets. The central banks went and they just printed up money and took all of these things as, quote, assets. They're liabilities to anybody else. Equities are twice as high as they were at the apex of the last two stock market bubbles. twice as high. Bond prices have continued their 30-year march higher, and that's because of the low interest rates. Home prices are now back right before the last housing bubble. Stu, what was the deal with the Shiller? What is it?
The Case-Shiller Index.
Yeah, Case-Shiller Index. And how much was it? It was because it usually they've been tracking the price of houses since the 1800s. And when you average them, they're at about 102. OK, sometimes they're a little lower, sometimes they're a little higher. But that's the marker. It's about 100. And what it means is that houses are not great investments. Houses generally continue to rise with the price of inflation of the raw materials that it takes to build a house. It's if you sell your house at a bubble, like if you would have sold your house at the top of 07, you would have been sitting pretty had you not poured your money into a stock market or another house. But if you sold your house at 07 and then sat on that money, you would have been doing great because you could have turned around and bought that same house a year later, probably at a fire sale. The same thing is happening right now. Look at the price of homes.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on an index. Starts at 100, right?
Yeah.
It's been between 80 and 120 the entire time.
Yeah, that's the 80 is literally the Great Depression, mm-hmm. and 120 is 2008, the highest it's ever been. It generally hangs out right around 102.
And then I want to say, because the chart isn't coming up for me, but the it rose in the housing bubble to like 150. So it was way above what it had ever been at before.
I thought it was 120, but okay, so 150.
Yeah, well, it was at 120, and then when the housing bubble hit, it went up to, say, 150.
Okay.
Then it came down to like 135, which is still higher than it had been the entire time. And before it started recovering, now it has recovered past where it was when the bubble was there. So I want to say it's 160 now. It's actually at an all-time high.
I want you to go to glennbeck.com. There is an all-out war on savers. You need to know how to navigate it. Glennbeck.com. Folly to hold on to cash right now or brilliant? I vote for brilliant. Check it out.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. I am so glad that you are here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of the program today. Charlie Gard, his parents have returned to the high court now, asked permission to take Charlie home to die.
What a great win for the courts and the single-payer health care system.
They must be proud.
How much proud must they be? They've won. They've been able to kill this kid. It's what a wonderful win for them. I hope they're really proud of their win.
I wonder if anybody in England, I'd love to see the coverage of this. Are they talking about how villainous the hospital was for running the clock out like this? This is just villains. Mm. Just absolute villains. There is also a story coming out of California. People are angry over Israel's decision to implement extra security precautions at the entrance of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the wake of a terrorist attack. They are starting to go genocidal crazy. Anyway, an imam in California... there are many things.
Just a minor thing. You just throw that out there.
What?
It's a big, no big deal, right? I mean, you know, obviously the opinion of the news media is that why doesn't Israel get rid of the metal detectors? Because there's increasing violence, and this would calm the people with the violence if they didn't have metal detectors. I mean, we just, like, all these stories just add up to this sort of crazy perspective on the world. And I don't know how... It's so deep that I don't understand how we get out of it.
Yeah, and they just continue to lie about everything. Mm-hmm. It's like the other story that said walls never work. Well, the Israeli fence that they erected about 10 years ago reduced the amount of terrorism in Israel by about 85%, I think it is. Mm. So that has worked. And now they're saying these metal detectors are increasing violence? No, they put them in there because of violence. It's just,
imagine making that airport, making that excuse at an airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Post 9/11,
mm-hmm. saying these metal detectors are increasing violence.
Mm-hmm. Take them out.
Would we stand for that? That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But common sense, boy, read the Gods of the Copybook at a headings. I mean, is that book or that poem now more enlightening than ever before? Is the words of Paulina, that Jewish or that Polish woman that saved the Jews during World War II, when I met her in 2010, when she said something that I thought was pretty profound then. Now, oh my gosh, it's every day I think of this. Remember, the righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. Humanity has just gone over a cliff. None of it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's just, again, no one's grounded in anything. We look at Democrats. And this certainly goes for both sides of this equation when it comes to Russia. This is a foundational part of the parties for as long as anyone can remember. I mean, you're going back to 50 years as to Republicans are hard on Russia. Democrats are not quite as hard on Russia, right? Like, this has been a fundamental part of this for at least since Reagan, right? I mean, minimum since Reagan. And to the point of the last presidential election, the Republicans were getting mocked for taking them seriously. The last one. In 1 year, both parties have completely flip-flopped on that issue. Both of them have completely changed their opinions as to whether Russia's a threat or whether Russia should be taken seriously.
It's not the parties that's concerned me. Really, it isn't anymore. The parties...
Well, parties are made up of people.
Yeah, I know. The parties have just become... The people, we've just put on, you know, Team Democrat, Team Republican, and we're no longer even thinking. And how could we possibly think? I mean, how are we to teach AI that there is a universal truth, that human life is sacred, when we don't even believe that? We don't believe there's universal truth. We don't believe that there is a hard, fast core of ethics. We don't believe in any of that. How are we to teach artificial intelligence the difference between right and wrong when we don't know it?
This very well might end with us encouraging artificial intelligence to take us out.
Oh my gosh.
Just end it.
Oh my gosh.
Get it over with. You guys can do a better job with this.
Here's something that they may not be telling you in California. This should be everywhere. Okay, so the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, that is the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is, for anybody who believes in one God, the Temple Mount is the most sacred place on earth because that's supposedly where Isaac was to be sacrificed by Abraham. And remember, it's the Abrahamic covenant that Jews and Christians follow. And it was Abraham's first son that was born to him via a slave outside of the covenant that he sent off after Isaac came of age and said, you go live someplace else, but you too will have more descendants than are in the sky. Well, Ishmael is Islam. Isaac is Christianity and Jews. And we've been at war ever since. And it is on the Temple Mount that that happened. So the Al-Aqsa Mosque is on top of the Temple Mount. It's always been Jewish. And it is sacred. The only place of Jerusalem that the Israelis don't own and don't have control over is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. they felt that it was too sacred. No bloodshed should happen on top of that. And so they never stormed the mosque. They never stormed the top of the Temple Mount. So it is right there in the center of Jerusalem. And, you know, people are praying at the Western Wall. Up above is the mosque. And people come and they throw rocks and stones on the heads of people who are praying. I was there one time when there was a riot at the mosque.
The first time we were there.
The first time we were there. Yeah. You know, it's a very dangerous, volatile place. Well, people were bringing weapons into the mosque. Why do you need a weapon in the mosque? Why would you need one? You don't need a weapon in the mosque. Why are you bringing one? To go pray to Allah? Why? So they're putting metal detectors because there has been violence. And violence is on the rise. They put the metal detectors in so people don't have guns on the high place to be able to shoot down at people. What happens? That's offensive.
Right.
So we think, well, that's only happening here. Let me give you a story about the prayer services from an imam in California. Yes, our California, where the imam on Friday called for the utter annihilation of every last Jew. I want you to listen to a little bit. I'll translate some of it.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the situation of people. حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Till they change their own situation. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لَنْ تَقُومَ السَّاعَةَ حتى يقاتل المسلمون اليهود فيختبئ اليهودي خلف الحجر والشجر فيقول الحجر والشجر يا مسلم.
So he is saying here, he is saying here, the Quran says that there's going to come a time when we have to hunt every Jew, and not just the Jews in Afghanistan or the Jews in Palestine. And then he stretches out his arms to point to all of those in his California mosque and says, every Muslim. Not Palestinian, every Muslim. So he's saying that we have to fight. If you're a Muslim, you have to kill the Jews here in America as well.
يقول يا مصري يا فلسطيني يا أردني يا سوري يا أفغاني يا باكستان. The Prophet ﷺ says that the time will come, the last hour would not take place till the Muslims fight the Jews. And we don't say if it's in Palestine or other, till they fight. And when that war breaks, that they would run and hide behind every rock and house and wall and trees. The house and the wall and the trees will call upon the Muslims. It will say, O Muslim. It will not say, O Palestinian, O Egyptian, O Syrian, O Afghani, O Pakistani, O Indian. No, it will say, Ya Muslim, O Muslim, Muslim, when Muslims comes back.
Okay, stop for
come.
A second. What that line in the Quran is that every house, rock, and tree will cry out and say, O Muslim, here behind me hides a Jew. Kill him. And so, but I want you to also listen to what he said. The time of the prophet, the time of the return, the end times, don't come until that war begins, until all Muslims begin to kill all Jews all around the world. Why is he saying this? It goes into end times prophecy. Again, like the 12th Imam, the Muslim end time prophecy talks about how there is going to be a washing of the earth with blood, and it will be Muslims that will be beheading and killing people. And the Muslims will wash the world in blood, and then the promised one returns. That's not our promised one. That's their promised one. And their promised one makes every knee bow and every tongue confess that Muhammad is the prophet and that Allah is God. And if you don't, you are beheaded. Does any of this sound familiar? It is interesting to me that we have the Al-Aqsa Mosque that is starting to call now for a war on all Jews. And even in California, they're preaching the same thing at the same time that Iran is beginning to say, they just announced last week, that the 12th Imam is on earth, is walking among the people of Iran, and about to come forth. What that means is they are preparing. You don't have to believe it. They don't even have to believe it. What they're preparing their people for is a massive bloody war, because the promised one cannot return until they have covered Israel in fire to kill all of the Jews. They are preparing for massive war. And that analysis you won't get anywhere else, because we refuse to face the truth anymore. And now this. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night, found yourself drenched in sweat? Hate that. If you have a foam mattress, that's probably the way it does. Your heat traps, trapping mattress is there, and it's just the way they're made. Well, Casper went to the best scientists, and they said, we want to develop a new foam. And this new foam has to let the heat out of the bed, so you're cool and comfortable and fully supported every night. So they got all kinds of awards for designing a new mattress. Then they got all kinds of awards because that mattress is unbelievably inexpensive. And the reason they can sell it to you at such a reasonable price is they've taken out the awkward middleman. And the reason why I say awkward is, have you ever gone to a mattress store and then laid there on the bed and you were comfortable, but then 10 days later after you had it in your house, you're uncomfortable, but you're not going to deal with the hassle of bringing it back to the store and all of that. So you just live with it. Does that ever happen to you? They don't expect you to go to a store and lay down on a bed. What they do is they deliver it to you in a box that is so small, you will be able to carry it yourself to the bedroom. You open the box and cut the tie of the bed on the bed frame, and the mattress springs out. It's unbelievable. You sleep on it within 100 nights. If you don't love it, they come and they take it away for you. They make sure that every single penny is returned to you, so you haven't lost any money. This is why. This is one of the, I'm trying to remember some of the places that have given them awards. Fortune, I think, gave them one, and also Fast Company has given them awards. The invention of the year. It's a Casper mattress. Try yours for 100 nights with free shipping and free returns. Go to Casper.com. You'll get $50 off the purchase of your mattress if you use the promo code Beck. It's Casper.com. Try it now. Promo code Beck, Casper.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me play something. Do you remember this little girl from the Obama days? Let's just play this little girl and her little song here.
What? Okay.
From the Obama. Do you have it? I thought you just put it in the machine.
Yeah, I put in something else with it, right. But I put in those militant kids too.
Yeah,
but I can just play the little girl.
Just play the little girl. Here it is. Listen to this.
This will send a chill down your spine, because it's been a little while since I'm sure you've heard this.
And you also kind of need to look at the words again.
Yeah.
And and notice, she was right. Do you have it, Pat?
Yeah, I should, unless... I
don't know.
I was just playing it, right?
Yep. Okay, don't know what happened, but you remember little girl, we're gonna change the world, we're gonna change it, we're gonna rearrange it. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna play that for you here in a minute,
And there's a reason for it.
And there's actually two reasons for it. One that the media is talking about, and another one that I want to talk to you about. And it revolves something that I just got from Eric Erickson about a confidential meeting that he had with members of the White House. We'll talk about that next.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Okay, some details are coming out about what the Republicans are voting on.
I mean, you got to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
It looks as though it is the clean repeal bill, which was what they floated in 2015 and passed several times and Obama rejected. Well, that may not be the best bill, but that's at least what they campaigned on. We'll go over that, tell you what it means. And we've just had one senator who said he was not going to vote for any kind of bill like this. Just come in and say, if that's what they're passing, if that's what they're really proposing, I will sign on for that. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. This has been an amazing day, yet another. I was sitting with somebody just recently, and I don't remember where it was, but it was something quite remarkable. And they looked across the room at me and just mouthed, "I can't believe I'm witnessing this." And we later talked about how this, we live in a time of history. Every single day, we are living in a time of history. People will study this time, this nation, and us as people to see how we reacted, to see what we did, to see who stood, to see who didn't. You are going to fall into one category or another. Whether you like it or not, you might want to say you're going to stand on the fence, you know, and you're just going to play it neutral, or I'm not going to pay attention. You are going to be forced into one category or another. Silence itself in the face of evil is in itself evil. Silence, not choosing, is a choice. You'll go with whatever power is in control. We are navigating now the waters of something we've not seen before. We are looking now at a walkout, possible walkout of many of the cabinet members of Donald Trump. Remember, he had them take that weird loyalty thing that they did. Remember when they held the press conference in the cabinet meeting? And they all went around the table and just talked about how loyal they were to him and how great he was. Mm-hmm. Apparently, some people, Rex Tillerson is just apparently the tip of the iceberg, according to Eric Erickson, who has talked to people in the White House that are friendly to the president, who have said enough is enough. If he goes after Jeff Sessions, who is the most loyal on the of all of the cabinet members, who will he not go after? And Rex Tillerson has apparently had enough. And the word is that he's thinking about leaving. But the word now is also that he's not alone. We'd never seen anything like that happen, if indeed it does happen. This is game-changing, the way things are being handled right now. And we have to look at the future ramifications. What does the next president do? It's not just about us right now. Does the rule of law matter? How far can you go before the entire thing breaks? Now, let me switch to healthcare. Yesterday, the president came out and said, you have to pay for it, or you have to pass what we're going to pass. And I heard his speech and I thought, okay, what are they going to try to pass? Last night, they didn't know. They just knew that they had to pass, quote, something. Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like something that is our nation is worthy of, that kind of effort. So now it comes out today that it looks like it is the 2015 bill, which I don't love, but at least that's, you know, what they promised the American people. They promised the American people, here's the bill. We've passed it a billion times. Obama won't sign it. And that's why we have to have both houses and we have to have the White House. Okay. Well, here you are. You should have introduced that bill on day number one. You could have had this done day one. But no. So now we're back to the 2015 bill, which will cause some problems, but they'll have 2 years to fix that. Whether they use those 2 years or whether it is the Republicans' goal to get us all into one single-payer system just like it is the Democrats, I don't know. But here's the basic gist of what they're going to be, we think, they're going to be passing. Things are still really very sketchy.
There are two things being floated pretty widely right now. Rand Paul has tweeted that this morning, the Senate Majority Leader informed him that the plan for today is to take up the 2015 clean repeal bill as I've urged, quoting Rand Paul. If that's the plan, I will vote to proceed to have this vote. I also now believe we will be able to defeat the new spending and bailouts. I've been told by leadership that their bill would now need 60 votes to pass, votes they do not have. Therefore, I believe it will fail. If we cannot pass full clean 2015 repeal, I've also been told we will vote on whatever version of clean repeal we can pass. Repealing mandates and taxes without new spending and bailouts. This is the path I've been urging and what I've discussed with real Donald Trump. If this is indeed the plan, I will vote to proceed and vote for any and all measures that are clean repeal. Now, so, with you know, Rand Paul would be the toughest vote to get from the right.
Him and Mike Lee.
Yeah, and Mike Lee. But, you know, even on the last bill, Lee considered it considerably longer than Paul did.
Yes.
Now, so what he's talking about, I think, here is what they're calling skinny repeal. That is the term. So what they're trying to do is get 50 votes to start debate on the bill. And then they are going to take a clean bill to partially repeal parts of Obamacare. This may just be the individual mandate. It may just be specific things. They have to get 50 votes and eliminating the penalty for Obamacare's individual mandate, potentially along with the employer side of it, might be the only plan that can win that sort of support, according to Vox and their breakdown of it. And they're, as you know, a left-leaning site. However, that's an accurate representation of where this stands. So what they're going to try to do is get rid of as much as they can, say they've repealed some stuff, and move on. Now, the individual mandate to me, and I've said this a zillion times on the air, is the most offensive part of Obamacare because it is, to my mind, blatantly unconstitutional.
It is the one that says you cannot be American in good standing unless you pay this fee.
Right. And that was the one they changed the definition from tax to fee to tax to fee about 12 times to make sure it got through. Mm-hmm. It's the one where you go through and you see John Roberts basically legitimately rewrote the law to pass it when it came to the Supreme Court. It is really offensive and would be a positive change. It would not be what was promised. It would not be a miracle. They do say that CBO, I don't know if you believe this. I don't believe it.
CBO believes
15 million, I think it's 14 to 15 million, about 74% of all people that would leave insurance, you know, when they keep saying 22 million mm-hmm, people will lose mm-hmm. their insurance, about 74% of those they say is because of the individual mandate. Now, stop and think about that for a second. What they're saying is
you're being forced into buying it. I don't want to buy it. Mm-hmm. And so they're leaving healthcare behind.
So without the fine, people will say, you know what? I don't want that insurance. And so they will choose not to do it. Now, people will tell you this is a horrible tragedy.
And they'll tell you that's Republicans throwing people off
their healthcare. It is not. It is people choosing themselves because they are no longer going to be penalized to not buy the insurance. No one wants people to not have insurance.
However,
if 10 million people or 15 million people drop their insurance because they choose to, this is a good thing. It is them executing control of their lives. Yeah. And that is what we're supposed to be giving people opportunity to do here.
Yes. So that is good, but it does not, again, take into account the people who are actually struggling because there is nothing in either of these that actually do anything to lower the cost. So the people who are struggling, the people who are like, I don't want to pay the fine anymore. I'm not going to do that. But they don't have kids or whatever. They're younger. there are 15 million of those people are just going to go away.
I don't understand why they can't open it up to interstate competition. Why can't you do that? What is the difficulty in that?
They don't want to.
What's the objection? Go just open it to competition. That would lower the cost. For sure that would lower the cost. You got monopolies all over the country, and then you wonder why the cost is high? It's unbelievable.
I don't know. Didn't we learn our lesson with, you know, it's so long ago now, most people don't remember, but AT&T and Bell, the old Bell system.
Yeah.
The old Bell system, it was stable and it worked.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no pun intended, no bells or whistles. We wouldn't have had the answering machine. We wouldn't have had the cell phone if we still had Ma Bell.
That made prices go up for a while.
My daughter looked at me and she said, we argued for a while. See, a free market, they're just gouging us. Wait.
And we did, and it kicked in, and now it's way better than it was.
My daughter, way better? Think of this. Last night, my daughter goes to the phone because it was ringing, and she looks at call screening. And she said, I said, who is it? She said, it says toll free. What's toll free?
Wow.
What? I don't know, honey. All calls are now toll free. What is a toll call? A toll call was somebody who lived 40 miles away that you had to pay
a lot extra.
Yeah, you remember limiting long distance calls because they would go up. Yes. You'd call and you'd be like, I can only stay on for 15 minutes.
Remember collect calls?
Yes.
I mean, none of that stuff
person
happens
to person
anymore.
You used to make a person-to-person collect call to beat the toll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know I was home safe, I would call you
person-to-person. Deny the charge.
Right. And I'd say, is Glenn Beck there? Who's calling? Steve Jones. And, you know, grandma would pick up the phone and she'd say, I'm sorry, Glenn is not here. Okay, thank you. Click. I'm sorry.
My mom worked for Michigan Bell for, 40 years. And I can remember going into the building to make long distance calls because those were free. She got the free long distance calls in the building.
That's amazing. Someone in your family had a job?
And we figured out a way to get free calls from it.
Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's Simply Safe. This is how good things become when you just let the free market work. Let me tell you a story about an entrepreneur. He's in school. I think he's at MIT. And he's up, in Cambridge and the latter years of school. And everybody's living in a row house. And this neighborhood starts to be burglarized. Well, here he's an engineer. And so nobody can put a burglar alarm into the house because you have to have it all wired. You're not going to live there that long. You can't sign a 5-year lease, blah, blah, blah. The places that they're renting, the owners are not going to put a burglar alarm in that house. So they have no way to protect any valuables. So as an engineer, he's thinking, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a way I can help my friends. So he comes up with an idea of a wireless burglar alarm, one that would measure the sound of glass breaking, one that would have a smoke detector, one that would just alert them that the door is open. That's how it first started. What happens? Now, years later, because there was a need for it, it swept through all of his friends. He thought, I think I have a business here. That business is called Simply Safe. It is the best, most simple, most cost-effective way to protect your house. There are no salesmen. There are nobody coming in to drill holes in the wall. You own the system. No contracts. Now you can get $100 off their big summer package. This is their biggest summer sale ever. And the package, I think, Pat, you looked it up. What was it, $399?
Yes.
And $100 off.
Yeah.
I mean, go look at their package. For $399, you are owning the system that will protect your house for a decade. And no contract, $14.99 a month if you want it, and it will call police. It will call the fire department if there's a fire. Biggest summer sale ever, and an additional $100 off if you go to simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com. Better hurry because the sale ends soon on the 31st of this month. Simplysafebeck.com. Go there now. Simplysafebeck.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Oh, I know. It's
breaking
news. Okay, so we have some breaking news that Pat is breaking here right now. I didn't know this. This is from People Magazine?
This is from Us Magazine. Us Weekly.
Us Weekly.
You know, Vanna White has been struggling with weight all her life. You've seen her.
Oh, my gosh.
Wheel of Fortune. Now, she's blocking.
I, like, tried to solve a puzzle.
She blocked the whole board.
And the puzzle was this two-letter name of an object is a new Stephen King movie.
You couldn't see.
And I couldn't see the board she was standing. And it was like, I'm pretty sure it's it, but I have to see the board.
Well, at one point, Glenn, now, she weighed as much as 105 pounds.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
She had let herself go.
Actually, 2 years ago, Wheel of Fortune told her to shape up or shape out.
What did she do?
She either needed to lose 15 pounds or find a new TV show to work
on. Oh, my gosh.
What did she do? Well,
she
wore a size 10 at the time, but she watched the pounds melt away.
Shut up.
Her heaviest, she was 145 pounds. She tried Atkins. She tried Weight Watchers.
What
Jenny
did she
Craig.
Do that worked? I want to try it.
She finally found a pill from Dr. Oz, who apparently told her about
Dr.
this.
Dr. Oz. He is
Trim
you know
Fit
what?
Garcinia.
He's a genius.
Dr. Oz has also been responsible for that pill that Stephen Hawking and Anderson Cooper are both taking.
The brain power.
Wow. The brain power
The brain
thing.
Power pill,
yeah.
Yes.
I was surprised. I wrote to Anderson, and I'm like, Anderson, I didn't realize that you were taking this brain thing. He said things. It sounded to me like I'm not. I hate that frickin' company. But I think he was speaking something, you know, he was mathematical language. Well, I don't think
I'm
understood.
I'm pretty sure Anderson Cooper knows Greek. He might have been speaking
He might have been speaking Greek. He might have been speaking Greek.
Well, he didn't know
and the
Greek.
Same thing with Chip and Joanna. Did you hear the news?
Is she? I heard something.
No,
that there was
listen
a rumor.
To this. No, this is not a rumor. Everything was going all right.
Yeah.
Until they were in this interview.
And with whom?
Don't know. But this interview, this interviewer asked this one question.
Was it an important
and
question?
And then the whole thing broke loose.
Oh, no.
Facial cream.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What was the question?
The question is, are you leaving the show? And Chip
to start
didn't even
a facial
know.
Cream company?
Chip didn't even know.
Oh, my gosh.
He didn't even know.
That bitch. She didn't even tell her husband.
No, she's not a bitch. She's very, very nice about it. She was just so excited about the fresh facial cream.
Why didn't she tell Chip?
Thank you.
She was so excited about it. And he had his heart on the cupcake store and the building things.
Oh, man.
So they did go through some hard times, I hear.
Did it put stress on their marriage?
It did put stress on their marriage. But the good news is, they're going to be okay.
But she is leaving the show, right?
She's leaving. It's just going to be the Chip show.
Well, yeah. So she's got the facial cream thing going pretty strongly now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh. Is it?
There's not a word of truth in any of this.
What is it about us that, and I think I know the answer. We only read. This is scientific, okay? We only read 10 seconds of stories. So when you click on something, you scan it for 10 seconds. And the more realistic it looks, the more apt you are to believe it. If they can make it look like it's really coming from a credible source, you believe it. And then what you do is you go to, did you hear, I mean, I've heard that Chip and Joanna are leaving the show. Yeah, I've heard that too, some facial cream. And all of a sudden you start to hear it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this works for the facial cream. It doesn't work, you know, if you're trying to live in a society that, you know, values the truth. But good news, that society is long gone.
So it's incredible they continue to get away with this.
I know.
It's absolutely incredible.
I know. We have some information on the Obama youth. Also, a guy who's asking for your support to replace Jason Chaffetz, and more before we scoot on out of here today and let the Senate vote on the new health care bill, which we'll continue to tell you about coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, you're going to like this guy, Chris Herod. He is running for the vacated seat of U.S. Representative Jason Chaffetz. Early voting begins today and continues until Election Day, which is August 15th. The winner of this GOP primary will face off against the Democrat on November 7th. I have very little trust in anybody going to Washington, but I want you to know this. He is one of the founders of the Patrick Henry Caucus. His main goal is to restore the original intent of the Constitution. And here's my favorite. He spent extensive time in Europe and the Middle East. He has taught at two universities in the Ukraine where his wife grew up. He has seen the evils of socialism firsthand and vows that it is not going to happen here. Chris Herod, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor.
So tell me about your experience in the Ukraine and how you can combat socialism when we're headed down that road fast.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of Republicans that don't even understand that that system doesn't work. And for me, it's not theoretical. I mean, my wife has a 7-inch scar that should have been a 1/4-inch scar. One of the times back, she had an ectopic pregnancy. And, you know, just the horrors of walking into this room with 9 women on dingy gray sheets. I have horror story after horror story about that system. So it does not work. It is not more compassionate. Everybody will say, well, what about these 22 million that aren't going to be covered? Well, all that system does is lower the care for everybody. And so, for me, it's not theoretical. That's one of the things about my experience in life is I was there when the Soviet Union collapsed, and communism and socialism robs the individual of their full potential. It weakens the family and eventually morally bankrupts the society.
So your wife is over from the Ukraine. Was she a Soviet Union transplant family in the 40s, 50s, 60s, or is she really Ukrainian?
Well, no, I finished in 1992. I finished my master's at BYU and didn't want to go to corporate America, and so I found a teaching job, and I stepped off the plane, and there was a beautiful young woman holding up a sign with my name on it, a sign from the university, and I married her 4 months later. So,
But is she really Ukrainian, or is she a former Soviet Union family? Do you know?
Well, her father is Tartar, which is left over from when Genghis Khan came across, and then his mother's Ukrainian. So she has deep roots there.
So then she must have strong feelings on what is happening in the Ukraine, as do you. Where do you stand on Russia and Putin, friend or foe?
Well, you know, actually my in-laws had their windows blown out 2 years ago by a Russian separatist bomb. So we're no fans of Putin in the least bit. And, you know, Ronald Reagan said it best, the only thing the Soviets understand is brute force, so you have to stand up to them. But you do have to realize that some of the stuff, as long as we're talking about collusion, we're not really talking about Russia has invaded Ukraine. We're not talking about health care or tax reform. And so Putin is a chess player, and he outplayed the Obama administration, and he's outplaying the press and the Democrats and some Republicans right now as well.
Agree.
We need to talk about the real issues.
Good for you. So let's talk about Obamacare. It looks like they are going for the simple repeal, the clean repeal that they proposed in 2015. Is that a fix for you? Would you be good with a simple repair like that? What has to be done?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the confidence in Congress has been lost. And, you know, 61 times, over 60 times they repeal it when it doesn't matter. They need to repeal it. Get people on record. You know, if they voted for it before now, and then we can start and look at things that we can do to bring the free market back into the system. But, again, that system does not work. Socialized medicine just pushes everybody, the quality down. And so for me, you know, let's have some conversations. But I'm a big believer. You know, I served 6 years in the Utah legislature. States handle those issues much better than the federal government. And so, you know, let us have high risk pools here in the state and you know, just block grant that money to the states and let the states fix that problem as well.
Ted Cruz and Rand Paul endorsed you. Has Mike Lee endorsed you yet?
Well, Mike has a strict policy of not, you know, endorsing in the primary, but Mike's been very helpful to me, you know.
Oh, my gosh, that weasel. He asked me for my endorsement. Oh, my gosh.
But no, I mean, so don't be too hard on Mike. But, I won't. You know, it has been great. I mean, Senator Cruz will be out here on Saturday for a rally for me. And so, you know, he's been very great. You know, I met you at the Ted Cruz rally here in Provo.
Yeah, I think I met your son, Dale, right? Wasn't he he was the kid that just pulled up out of the crowd unbeknownst to you or me or him, right?
Yeah, no, that was, you know, that's kind of the highlight of his life so far in his political career, you know, so thank you very much for
That's amazing. I mean, you know, how life works, because I just pulled him out of the crowd, and he was just a great, great kid. You could see it in him. He's an amazing kid.
Well, you know, because we're fighting for them, I've tried to involve, you know, my kids in the process to let them know, you know, what we're fighting for. And, you know, I this isn't cliche. I truly fear for what they're going to face between the debt, you know, when, you know, our younger generation's not being taught how great this country was and the founding principles that made it great. And they're taught to hate this country and then hate to, you know, that they think that the new socialism is not that bad, but it's never worked anywhere else in the world. And unfortunately, people don't seem willing to call it out, saying that it's not compassionate.
Chris, can I speak real frank to you here for a second and just get your response?
Okay.
I have good friends who have gone to Washington. I have some who have succeeded, and I have some who have failed miserably. Some who have failed miserably is because they had a moment of weakness, or they had something to hide, or they just really for a second just thought, you know what, if I help them, then they'll help me. I've not met a person that has gone to Washington and left a better man. Are you prepared for what is coming your way much faster than what is coming your children's way in society?
You know, I mean, it's one of those things here. I mean, I've taken a difficult stance. I mean, here in Utah, you know, I wrote a book called The Forgotten Immigrant, How Tolerating Illegal Immigration Hurts Immigrants. I was attacked, you know, called all sorts of names. I even had my faith questioned. And so it hasn't been easy for me to get to this point, but I am very firm in the positions, and it's one of those things. I want to go back and make a difference, and if I don't last long, then that's okay too. So I think that's one of the things that, you know, helps you being willing is if you're not. I know my core principles. I know what's true, and like I said, it's not. I don't need to be there for decades or anything like that, and so. I believe it's always harder than it is, but I have endured serious criticism. You know, the establishment's coming after me now. And so, you know, it hasn't been an easy 10 years, you know, here in Utah, my political career. So I, you know, I'm not afraid to call a spade, and that sometimes gets you in trouble, as you well know.
So. And your soul is intact.
Yes, it is. It still is.
Chris, at one point there were 22 people. Running for is it still that crowded a field? Like 15 Republicans or something?
Yeah, well, I won the convention route, and so I took on 10 other people, and so I'm one of the 11 there. Two other people gathered signatures. We have, you know, people are trying to get rid of the caucus convention system. We call it kind of buying your way to the vote. And so I just have the two Republicans left now, and then I have one Democrat, and then I think there's a Libertarian Party, an American New Party, or a couple other minor parties like that. But so for the most part, I've kind of got through the heavy lifting, and then, you know, this is kind of the big name. You know, the chamber has backed one of the other candidates, and but this is the primary. So I've already kind of gone through the caucus convention system, which that's where they truly vet you, and you can't get away with soundbite answers.
And that's actually I think it was Orrin Hatch who was trying to change that recently, didn't he?
Well, it was that he's going to. I mean, it was kind of the Levitts and the Romneys have, you know, basically when Mike Lee got elected, you know, I was heavily involved in helping get Mike Lee and, you know, ousting Senator Bennett, and they didn't like that, and so they've attacked the Congress. And, you know, what's the worst thing that we got asking Senator Bennett? It was Mike Lee, which has been a great success. But, you know, Republicans win one, conservatives win one, and then they want to completely change the system so it's just money and a few money brokers that will choose who's going to be the next.
Is there somebody in history, not a parent or Jesus, is there somebody in history that you look to and you say, this is a man I would like to be remembered as? I'd like to try to pattern myself after him.
Well, obviously you look at George Washington. For me, that experience, he could have been king, and he resisted that. And I think there's a number of people. I mean, you know, you look at, for me, Lech Walesa in Poland, who paid a high price for freedom. My sponsor and professor when I was in the former Soviet Union, she, at the age of 21, she spoke English very well, and the KGB asked her to sleep with foreigners, and she refused. And she was persona non grata for a year. Her husband lost both their parents to Stalin Gulag. I'm surrounded by a lot of great people that have paid a high price for freedom. And so for me, the sacrifice of being called names, you know, it is tough. My wife is just wonderful. She has been very supportive of me, as I served in office. But, you know, they paid the great prices. Being attacked is a relatively minor sacrifice compared to what many of my friends have sacrificed around the world.
Chris, I wish I could tell you that I thought that being called names would be the worst that you and your family would face, but we are in perilous times unless more people like you get in, hold to the principles, and never let go. Chris Herod is his name, running for the vacated seat of Jason Chaffetz. Early voting in Utah begins today. It continues until Election Day, which is August 15th. The winner of the primary will face off against the Democrat on November 7th. We wish you the best of luck, Chris.
Well, we have a website, herodforcongress.com. I love donations or additional support, but thank you very much. And Glenn, thank you very much for, you know, what you have done. I know you've paid a high price. I really appreciate the perspective you've given on Islam. I'd love to have some time, a further conversation of that. But thank you for everything that you have done.
Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate it. Bye-bye. Chris Herod. If you're in Utah, please consider him to replace Jason Chaffetz. He been endorsed by Ted Cruz and
Rand
by
Paul.
Rand Paul. And, you know, working behind the scenes is Mike Lee. Now this from LifeLock. Scammers found a new way to trick you. It's called smishing. It's the new phishing, smishing. Similar to phishing emails, they're now hitting you with text messages instead. Fraudulent messages may appear to come from your bank card or your credit card company. It says you got to reply right away. What happens? They get your identity. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. In those last two sentences, 4 people have lost their identity. If there is a problem, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist is going to work to get your identity back.
6 more.
Thank you.
6 more.
Okay. No one can prevent all identity theft, monitor all transactions at all.
Now 10.
Businesses. But if you act now, you can get the added protection of Norton Security for free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships.
It's another dozen right there.
Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount for the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or...
Damn it, that's 16 more people just...
1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK15. Get 15% off. Terms do apply. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
Another 18 people.
Promo code BECK15.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
It's amazing to me how the left has done everything they can to destroy the Boy Scouts. And now the president goes yesterday to speak of the Boy Scouts. And I think he made a huge mistake by making it into political instead of something for the Boy Scouts. The left is now comparing him speaking to the Boy Scouts to the Hitler Youth. May I just remind them of these little special numbers?
We're gonna spread happiness. We're gonna spread freedom.
Okay, so you remember this song. Do you remember the Obama militant arm, if you will? The boys that were doing...
Yeah, because of Obama, I can do auto mechanics or whatever. And then they started some kind of weird chant.
Chant, and...
it was all creepy
and
stuff.
And it was very, very creepy. Now, the creepiness has continued on the Trump side, but not at the Boy Scout. Remember this from his campaign.
And freedom brings answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA!
Yeah.
Enemies of freedom.
Wow. Okay, I just don't. It just makes me. I don't like either of them.
We were excited about that at the beginning.
Could you go back to the little girl that sang the Obama song? And I just go ahead and play it. I want you to just listen to this. With everything that is happening in today's world, when we try to just get a handle on what is up, what is down, listen to this. Obama's going to lead, right?
Yeah.
We're going to change it.
Going to change it. Wow, he did, didn't he?
And rearrange it.
And rearrange it. Huh. Do you not feel like the entire country, the entire West, everything we believed in has just been rearranged?
Yes.
And you're like, I don't know where anything is anymore. I don't know how to navigate here.
No question about it.
I mean, they did that. They did that.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
You talk about fundamental transformation of the United States.
It happened.
It really did happen.
Yeah.
And it's, really did. We talk so much about people failing, but it's good to see someone succeed.
Right?
Isn't it nice to see someone succeed?
No, and this is the one time. This is the one time I'm rooting for somebody to feel the pain of defeat.
Oh, you little rain cloud.
I know. I'm sorry about that. But lo and behold, they did feel that success. We'll see you live tonight at 5 o'clock Eastern on the Blaze TV. We'll tell you what's happened with health care reform. They're supposed to vote this afternoon.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.